way of operating, you know, in the gas station, like in some other places, they have their own personal.
How are you two today?
I think it's about time to get started. In the way of announcements, everybody I'm sure is aware, happy Father's Day today. And our potluck and men's meeting will be moved to next Sunday. Our prayer list, Kay Collins family, prayers for them, Naomi Simmons and Dustin Jackson, Ken and Sandy White, Tabitha Stomach, and Sherry's Stever's ear infection. So let's pray for them. Remember our shut-ins, Rose Beattie, Catherine Wright, Evelyn Belt, Judy Mayberry, Jack and Millie Keene are homebound. And we've got one birthday left this month on the 27th. Mm-hmm. Be for James Miller. And looks like June 26th and 27th is going to be the Ark Encounter trip. So let's remember that. And then Charles has something to say about this sheet of paper. And in our order of worship tonight, or today, our evangelism prayer will be David Morris. James McMillan will be handling the singing. Prayer will be by Charles Wall. On the Lord's Supper and contributions, that'll be Don DeMario and Ken White. Our door greeters are the Blairs. Scripture reading today will be James Oliver. Of course, Doug will be doing our sermon, and the closing prayer will be Jamie Poe. Does anybody have anything else that I'm not aware of?
Everything's moved to next Sunday. The potluck and the men's meeting.
Yeah, I mentioned that.
I'll do that in here.
Okay. Well, let's continue then.
I too want to welcome everybody this morning. And tell everybody Happy Father's Day. And our first song selection this morning is Singing Be Happy. If you're following along in the songbook, 841. 841.
If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem gray all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see, my friend, trust in His promises grand. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust Him who lead you, He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise Him song, sing be happy today. Often we are troubled and tried, sick with sorrow and pain. There are what tomorrow may bring. When the dark clouds vanish away, then your heart truly can sing. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust Him who leads you, He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise Him in song, sing and be happy today. Oft we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven's fair sky. When it seems the fortunes of earth drown and pass us by. There are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust and be safe, we shall have pleasure told. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust Him who leads you, He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise Him song, sing be happy today.
Next selection is 273. I know the Lord will find a way for me. 273.
I know the Lord will find a way for me. I know the Lord. To all the world.
Please stand for prayer.
We're getting ready to have our evangelism prayer. Who knows what this is? Raise your hand if you know what that is.
Contact card.
Okay, it's a contact card. We need to turn these in. So if you have a family member, friend, co-worker, someone that's going through something, we want to reach out to them. So this is the way to do it. So fill this out and hand that in to Jamie, and we'll get those folks contacted. That's our source. We're doing new movers. By the way, we have 4 boxes, Jamie, is that what you said?
Five.
We've still got 5 boxes for new movers that need to be delivered. So the contact card with their address is on there. So just go up and deliver the basket, knock on the door and say, hey, we're your friends at the Church of Christ. We want to welcome you to the community. If you don't have a place to worship, we'd love to see you. So just be friendly. Just be friendly. Be welcoming to people. And everyone can do that. Every one of us could do that, right? We could. If you can hand something to someone and say hello, you're qualified. So, okay, let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful for the opportunity we have to serve in your mission field, which is our community, Father, and the world. We recognize, Father, there are so many souls that don't really know you and don't know the power of the redemption that's found in Christ Jesus. And Father, we want to have opportunities. Father, give us the opportunities. Help us to open our eyes and see the opportunities that are before us, Father, for we know that you are presenting them to us in different ways. And we just need to be people who are looking and who are listening and who care about their fellow neighbors and friends. Father, help us to see those opportunities and take advantage of it. Father, we may not do everything right. We may fumble our words. We may be nervous. But Father, we know that you are with us and that your word will have its work and it will accomplish its mission. And we just need to be people who are willing to be servants and tools in your hands. Help us, Father, as we seek opportunities to be effective, to not be fearful, but to be full of faith and full of love for those that are around us. Forgive us of our sins. Bless us through this effort. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Charles, will you let us have our opening prayer, please?
Amen.
Amen. Next song selection is number 12, A Lesson in My Savior Bleed. We'll sing this in preparation for the Lord's Supper.
Alas, and in my Savior bleed, and in my sorrows die, would he go that sacred head for such a one as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Was it for crime that I had left? He brought up on the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross is where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness lie, and shine his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man a creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Thus might I hide my blushing face while his dear cross appears. Dissolve my heart in and melt my eyes to tears. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can never repay the
Let us pray. Our Father, we come to you today. We're so thankful for the sacrifice of your Son on that cross. We're thankful that he went through the suffering and the anguish to be able to provide a life everlasting for us in heaven with him if we just listen and obey his word. Father, as we partake of this bread, we pray that we will do so in a manner pleasing in thy sight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
pray. Father, we're very thankful for this opportunity to come and worship you today. We're thankful also for this cup, which represents the blood of Christ. May those that partake of it do so in a manner pleasing to thee. In Christ's name, amen.
That is the ending of our Lord's Supper and our observance of the Lord's death on the cross. We now have an opportunity to give back a portion of that God has given us to live our daily lives from the many blessings that he has provided for us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for those many blessings that you share with us. We have so many that we overlook and so many that we take for granted. Father, we are thankful for every one of them. Father, as we use our blessings, we pray that we will give back part of the funds that you gave us to live our lives. Help us to use those here in the church to continue to spread your word and to help those in our community. So as we give, let us do so with cheerful hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
At this time, I'd like for you to mark 551 in your songbook. 551, Rescue the Perishing. That will be our song of invitation after our lesson this morning. It will not be on the overhead. Before our lesson of the hour, we will sing Redeemed, 543, 543. Sweet is the song I'm singing today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And I would like to say before I start my lesson, again, as it's already been said, but I want to say it, Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. It's and also happy first day of summer, happy longest day of the year. So I mean we've got a really great day here that we can do this together. As you see, the title is Eating the Second Habit. We talked about the first habit last week was blessings. Now, did anybody eat today yet? Hope everybody, no, not yet. But I hope that you'll eat sometime today. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about our fellowship eating and eating together. And like it says on the screen, I will eat with three people this week, at least one whom is not a member of the church. Remember what we said about blessings? That was kind of the same goal about blessing people. First of all, let's look at Jesus' example and how he ate with people. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus had been criticized for his eating and his drinking. That John and Jesus said, you say, well, John the Baptist came and didn't eat at all except locusts and wild honey, right? And Jesus says in Luke 7, 34 and 35, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. but wisdom is justified by all her children. And we know that Jesus did come, and he ate with tax collectors and sinners, and he ate with the Pharisees, which we're going to see here in a minute or two. But we know also that Jesus did this to make relationships with one another, to eat with everybody. Like Paul ate with, I mean, he had fellowship with everyone, right? Well, Jesus had fellowship with everyone. And I know that we're not, I thought this would really go along well today with a potluck meal coming up, but as we all know, that's next week. And speaking of which, Pearl made biscuit rolls, and they're in the back.
Georgia.
What did I say, Pearl? Georgia, excuse me, Georgia. I'm looking right at Georgia and St. Pearl. And so she's blessed us, she's brought her rolls, so if you want to take rolls home, you can be blessed by Georgia this morning. You know, but as we think about our times together in which we eat, and a potluck is a good time for that, of course, but it can be more than that. I mean, the more that we eat together, share together, it's a good fellowship. We get to know each other better. And Jesus did that. He ate with the tax collectors and the sinners. But as I said, he also ate with Pharisees. Then in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 38, then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus had sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Well, what happened here is that Jesus came and sat down to eat with these people, and of course, this woman who was a sinner, and we don't know what kind of sinner that she was. Some have said, thought about being one thing or another, but the Bible says she was a sinner, and that she probably recognized her sin, and she came to Jesus and was thanking him for her forgiveness and asking him for her forgiveness, if you will. And Jesus didn't shoo her away. And of course, we know that the Pharisees wanted to shoo her away and so on. Another time that we don't have, that I don't have in our scriptures today that we're going to look at, is that Jesus came one time and he had the Pharisees again. And he said, he saw the people coming, wanting to crowd up to the head of the table to be first in line. And Jesus said, don't do that. Don't do that. Sit at the end, and then if you're asked to come ahead, you'll be honored. But if you want to sit at the front, and the master says, sit down lower, then you'll be humiliated. But the purpose, the point is that I'm trying to make, is that Jesus went and ate with all kinds of people and shared meal and time together with them. In John chapter 2, we find Jesus at the wedding. And on the third day, John chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Excuse me. And the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. And of course, we know that Jesus eventually turned the water to wine to keep the wedding party happy. But at a wedding banquet, they not only did they have wine to drink, but they ate. And they probably danced, and they had a good time together. And weddings often lasted, of course, much more than just one day at a time. A wedding that I went to in Ukraine, the wedding lasted all weekend. Actually, it was a four-day event altogether, if you will. And so people ate and drank together, and they had a lot of time together. I bet you most of the weddings that you go to, if you go to a reception, you have some food. So you understand what he's talking about here. Jesus mingled and went with people and shared with them in their everyday life. In John chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, the 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany. This was after, in chapter 11, Lazarus had been raised from the dead. It says, where Lazarus had been dead and whom he had raised from the dead. Verse 2, there they made him a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Again, we have someone anointing the feet of Jesus with her hair, with oil, probably with tears. Mary, of course, probably was very thankful that Jesus had raised her brother from the dead and was showing her appreciation. in what she thought was the best way that she could. But they were there because they had made a supper together to eat together and share together. Jesus had done a great thing for this family, raised the brother from the dead, and now they were eating together and sharing together. Last night, David Hutchcraft and I and Kathy went out and had supper together. And, you know, when you have a chance to do that, it's such a good time. I mean, there was nothing really dynamic happened, except it was dynamic that we were had a chance to share a meal together and eat together and rejoice with just friendship that we had. And, of course, a good meal, too, but that was, in a way, secondary from being together. And it's time, and it's important that when we can to take that time. Then after Jesus' resurrection, we find him again in John chapter 21, verses 12 through 14. After Jesus had gone, the disciples had gone out to fish. They didn't see Jesus. They went out to fish, and Jesus was on the shore. And when they caught the fish, they brought it in, and he was preparing a meal for them. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Then Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Even after Jesus was raised from the dead, he was thinking about his disciples. They're still struggling with this idea, and, you know, and marvel at, I'm sure, at the idea that he had been raised from the dead. He had been with them at least twice before, and now is the third time. And he was cooking for them. Sometimes it's important that we cook for other people and share a meal with people in this way. Jesus found it was to be important. And we see it all through his ministry and his life that he did this. And I think it's important that we recognize that this can be something for us as well. You see, we need to be the reason someone believes in the goodness of people. People need to know that they can see Christ in us, in what we do and how we live and how we work, and to see that there's a reason for us to do this. And we see now as we move on to the command of hospitality. In Acts chapter 2, verses 43 through 47, it's more of an example. After there's been over 3,000 people had been added to the church on the first day of Pentecost, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So to provide for this huge family, new family of God, I mean, you don't just sit down and feed 3,000 unless you're Jesus, right? We know Jesus fed 5,000 plus women and children, and then 4,000 again. They were not doing a miracle here. What they did is that they sold their possessions, divided among them, making sure everybody had need. And then verse 46 and 47, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So they were continuing daily, you know, with one accord in the temple. They were eating bread and from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. They had all things in common. Now, I know that's not what we do today. It's not in a way possible that we'd all live in the same house and such and share these things. But we find that that's what they were doing here. They took care of one another and fed one another and shared with what they had with each other. And it caused the church to grow, right? It says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So the hospitality had an impact, had a part of this. Not everything. Of course, the message had to be taught, and the lesson had to be preached, and people had to listen and obey, but it was a part of that relationship growth that was taking place in the early church. Then we see practicing hospitality. in Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 13. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Now, he mentions a lot of things here besides hospitality, but it's a part of it. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Given to hospitality. That means this is something that we're to be a part of our character, part of our nature, part of our living and walk as Christians. Then there's three more examples I want to share here. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. Again, this is one of the characteristics of what an elder or a bishop is to be hospitable, to show hospitality to one another. And hospitality doesn't always have to mean food. I don't want to any misunderstanding here. But that's a part of it. It's a part of it. To be hospitable means that you're welcoming to people, you're welcoming them and sharing with them. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 10, well reported for good works. This is talking about widows. If she brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed their saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. Now, it doesn't specifically say here that she fed people, but if she's reported for good works and she's taking people in and lodging them, taking care of them, their needs, washing the saints' feet. And again, we have to remember there that what the situation was as far as the washing of the saints' feet is that they wore sandals and they had dirt roads and dirt streets that they walked on every day. And so to come into the house, they washed their feet. And this happened a long time before Jesus washed the disciples' feet. It was just a part of their daily lives that they would do that before they come in. You know, in other cultures, for example, the Japanese, they would always take shoes off before they came into the home. And in other countries, this is the same thing. And so it's a matter of custom that was taking place, but she was taking care of their needs. And a part of that was the hospitality, the lodging of them and caring for them. Then in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to engage. Let me try that again. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. The way that you show love is you do not forget to entertain strangers. You do not forget to care about people and watch over them and help them and bless them in so many ways. Do not forget to do that. But take care of people, take care of one another, loving one another. And a part of what we're talking about here today, what we've been talking about, of course, is the habit of eating. And again, it's not a matter that we don't eat, but it's a matter of how are we eating? Who are we eating with? Why are we eating with one another? Therefore, to carry out the second habit of eating, how important is the meal to Jesus? It must have been pretty important, right? Because he used the opportunity of the meals to meet several times with a lot of different people from a lot of different, we would say, groups or classes of people. And he took time to be with people and to eat with them. What do you do generally, unless you're in a big hurry and eat on the run sometimes, but you slow down. You sit down at the table together, you share, you talk and so on. Sometimes my family will say, well, what was your favorite thing today? And they go around the room and tell what their favorite thing was as they, you know, at the meal table and share what they did and share what they had. What do you do when you're at a family and you're together and the meal that you eat together? Think about the Lord's Supper here for a moment. Why did Jesus give us the Lord's Supper? Yes, to remember his broken body and his blood that he shed on the cross for us. But when did he give it? They were eating the meal together when it took place. And when it was done, then they took part in the Lord's Supper. He broke the bread and passed that around and take it and eat this in what? In remembrance of me, right? And then he passed the blood and he says, this is the blood of my new covenant. I mean, that did not pass the blood, he passed the grape juice. around, because it was grape juice, it was the Pentecost times, so it had no yeast in it. And so they passed this around at that time and shared in that fruit of the vine that they had together. But why? Why did it call the Lord, why is it called the Lord's Supper? Because it's what the Lord did to help bring us together and to remember Him. So God did this for our good and for our purpose so that we could remember Him and be a part of that as well. There, and we also get to know people better when we eat together. Like last night with David and Kathy, we just sat there, well, what have you guys been doing? You know, what's been happening to you this summer? Where have you gone? What have you done? You know, and what's coming up for you? And you begin to talk about your lives, and you get to share together. And we let down our guards, yes, and we share our lives. Maybe some places and sometimes that we wouldn't do it any other way. Because we're in, maybe it's a public place, but you're in private, you know, your table, you know. And you share together the things that you're doing. And it doesn't have to be going out to eat. You can have people into your home to eat. And you can just have a cup of coffee if you want. We'll talk about that in a minute. Well, we become better friends. That's why we're doing it. We're carrying out this second habit of eating. So we get to know each other better. So what do? I just talked about that. We can get together and one-on-one over a meal or even a cup of coffee or tea or soft drink, I guess. I'm not a coffee drinker, so if you take me out for coffee, I'll probably have tea, you know, or a pop or something like that. But what I'm saying is that just spend some time together. If it's 10 or 15 minutes over a cup of coffee or a meal or whatever it might be, taking time for one another. And we can get together. It doesn't have to be just one-on-one. It can be with the family and sharing that time together. And again, encourage us to do this at least with one member of the church and with non-member of the church, and then maybe more than one of the others during the week. That's three people. I think I'm starting on Saturday. I already got two people down, okay? I'm just joking with you a little bit here. I don't see anybody laughing at my joke, but that's okay. But what I'm saying is that if you can, when you can, let's do that. And next Sunday is potluck, okay? Next Sunday is really potluck. And so plan on being here for potluck next Sunday, and we'll share some time together that way too. Have you ever started really asking yourself why a member of the church, in blessing them or eating with them? So we can grow the church, so we can grow our strength, so we can become more united with one another. We practice together to be better at people not being so close. I mean, we could, you know, talk about those baskets back here, right? We could, let's get a basket. Let's each one of us, you know, get a basket in three or four, and we'll practice. It's your turn. So what are you going to say at the door? Next person, what are you going to say at the door? But it's the same way. We practice being in the world by being together and sharing that time together and being with one another. So every week, eat with three people. And I'm not talking about your wife or your kids, okay? I know that's nice, but you can't do that. That doesn't count, all right? With three people. And what else are we going to be doing? We're blessing three people a week. Blessing three people a week. But why? Again, why? Why are we doing this? To become better at loving people and getting to know people better. And it's a good time, too. It's a fun time. It's a relationship time. And we can enjoy it. Becoming more like Christ. Creating opportunities to share Jesus. So as we wrap this up today, I want to encourage you. Just because I'm saying it, right? Just because I'm saying do it, that doesn't make, you don't have to do it. It's just like coming to church services. You don't have to do it. You want to do it because of who we are, because what God wants us to be and what God wants us to become. Well, God wants us to become more than we are. He wants us to grow. He wants us to prepare for heaven. And if we can do that in relationships with each other, you know, there's over 100 passages that talk about one another in the New Testament. And most of those are talking about in the church, with one another. So we grow the church and we grow the church and we grow spiritually together, we can be more effective at reaching out together. So today, if you need to come to Christ, won't you do that now as together we stand and sing.
Rest ye the perishing, care for the dying, send timid pity for sin in the grave. We for the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell him of Jesus the dying to save. Rest ye the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are sighting him, still he is waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with him earnestly, plead with him gently, he will forgive if they truly believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings unburied, that grace can restore. Touched by a loving hand, wakened by kindness, cords that were broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it, strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently with him, tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
Once again, I want to thank everyone for coming. I hope that you are better for it than when you arrived, so that you have learned something and can put it into practice. As I said in class, we need to continue to strive to do better each and every day so that we can make that race and finish that race. Brent had to leave because he was having some stomach problems. So as our closing prayer, keep him in mind so that he can get better quickly. And let's not forget Kay's family. I know they're hurting. You know they're hurting. But once again, we have cards. If you haven't signed the cards in the back, they're on the right. Please sign the appropriate one as needed and take part in helping them with their grief. Is there anything else that needs to be announced that has not been already announced?
Team 1 cards tonight.
Number 1 cards tonight. Tier 1, whatever. Okay. That's who will be meeting tonight. Okay, Ark Encounter, remember we have that scheduled for this next weekend. It should be a fantastic trip for all that go. And I want everybody to consider, that's part of sharing, that's part of us as we need to bond together and to grow together. Anything else? Jamie?
So as mentioned, there's still 5 boxes in here that need to be delivered. Deborah and I is going to go eat lunch when we leave here, somewhere cheap. But anybody that would like to go eat lunch with us is welcome to get with us, and we'll pick a place. And if you'd like to grab a couple of boxes, then you can go deliver those. If you don't, you're still welcome to come and eat. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all of our many blessings. Father, we just ask you to be with us here at this congregation and the work that we're doing. There's a lot of people putting in a lot of time and a lot of effort, and we just pray that you keep those people with energy and keep them looking forward. I know sometimes that we can get down and
and want to give up. And we just pray that you'll continue to give us the strength and the wisdom and the energy that we need to keep doing all the things that we're doing. Father, be with Kay's family as they've suffered a loss, and we know she was a big part of that family and meant a lot to them. We just pray that you show them the light, that they'll open up a little bit. And, you know, she had two grandsons that loved to come to church here and that we loved being here. We just pray that some way a path will open that they can rejoin us here. But just be with that family. I'll be with Brent as he went home sick today and help him to recover and get back going full strength. Be with those that go on the Ark Encounter toward the end of the month and give them a safe trip there, a fun time. It'll be a learning experience. It'll be get to see some things that you wouldn't get to see that you can read about in the Bible, but you can actually lay eyes on it there and visualize it. And just be with that trip that it'll be a blessing to everyone who goes, Father. Be with us and return us back at the next appointed time. These things we ask in your name we pray. Amen.